Well, good morning. I want to welcome you guys here to Seymour Christian. Glad you're with us this morning. My name is Stephen, and I'm one of the pastors here, and we're just glad that you're here with us this morning. I'm going to admit that I'm going a little crazy this morning. It's been a whirlwind weekend for our family. We drove to Michigan and then drove straight back late last night. Our oldest daughter, Kira, who's been up here helping lead us worship, she graduated from college yesterday. Yeah. From our alma mater, actually, and Angela's parents were able to go with us as well. And so she's third generation from Rochester Christian University, and so we're excited for that. It was really cool to be able to see some people that we hadn't seen in a long time. There are still some professors there that were there when I was a kid, and believe it or not, there's some staff that were there when Angie's parents graduated. So it's been a long time there, but it's good to see people. But one of the great things about graduation is you get to hear these speeches. And yesterday we were in a room, a gymnasium full of all these college students who had worked so hard for the things that they were about to receive. And the president, he stood before them in his cap and gown, and he said words like this. He said, "Upon the recommendation of the faculty of Rochester Christian University, I confer upon each and every one of you the bachelor's degree with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities pertaining to." And then he said these words. He says, "You guys have earned this." And they all erupted in applause. Because if you remember your college days, whether they were, you know, just a couple months ago or maybe many years ago, if you went to college or even in high school, it was really tough sometimes to get that degree. You had to work hard. And my daughter, I can attest, she worked hard to get that degree. And guess what? She earned it. She did the right things that she had to do to be able to get that degree. The questions that I'm asked more often than any other is, how do I know that I'm good enough? My daughter knows that she's good enough to receive her bachelor's degree because the university told her so. I'll go ahead and take them here, and I'll pause. You know, I'll find a really slick way that no one will know I'm doing this, right? And we'll, no. But she had earned it. She knew that she was good enough to get that degree. But I'm often asked the question, how do I know if I'm good enough? How do I know if I'm good enough to get into heaven? I don't know if I'm good enough to be saved. I found a video from a few years ago from the University of Michigan, and they were on the college campus, and they were asking students, how do you know if you are going to go to heaven? The first to ask, do you think there's a heaven? And if so, how do you know you're going to go there? Let's watch some of their responses.
Yes, I'm a Catholic. I don't think any of us can actually know until we die, I guess.
I do believe I'm going to heaven. I grew up in the church.
If you believe that you deserve to go to heaven, in a way, if you believe you're honest and good person, that you should.
I do think I'm going to heaven because I believe in God.
Well, I was raised Catholic, so I was raised that as long as you accept Jesus into your heart and you practice basically what you preach, then you go to heaven.
I can't determine that. So, personally, I don't know if heaven exists. I kind of hope it does.
After my decision making lately, I might have some repenting to do, but I definitely think that I'm going to heaven because I'm an overall good guy, good person, you know, have a good attitude, and I believe in God, and I go to church every once in a while.
I haven't really been to church in a while, but since I have accepted Jesus and I try to live by the Bible, you know, not sin as much and just spread the word about Jesus, then yes, I do feel like I'm going to heaven.
I can't judge myself in that way, so all I can do is act appropriately and do nice things for other people.
I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I think maybe if I, the rest of my life, I'm a good person, maybe. I don't think this time in my life, I don't know, maybe if I die tomorrow.
I think it takes a person to get to heaven is, number one, confess that Jesus is God. Number two, live a life in which you are serving others as if do unto others, you know, your golden rules, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And above all, serve.
Be a good person and do good things?
Oh, yeah.
That absolutely gets you into heaven?
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. So, and of course, you know, we're going to bring in the baptism, you know, because he mentioned about the baptism.
So you got to be baptized to get to heaven.
Yeah, you got to be baptized, yeah.
So if there was a heaven, what do you think it'd take to get there?
just being a good person. It's pretty simple. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I think I'm pursuing a career in medicine, so I'm hopefully going to be helping others my whole life, so hopefully that'll do some good for me.
I think that just, you know, doing good deeds and being a good person that, you know, yeah, I'll probably end up in heaven, hopefully. Hopefully the big guy's watching this one right now, you know.
I don't show that to poke fun at people or even to get us really to joke about that, because the reality is, even though some of those answers, we look at them, we go, I can't believe people would answer that way. The reality is that many of us would often answer the same way, right? We have a view of what it means to go to heaven or to be right with God. It's kind of like these scales, right? We're trying to balance our own scales. And we say, how do we know if I'm going to heaven? Well, if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. So let's think about this for a minute. What's the worst thing that you've ever done? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say it to him right now. No, but here's how this often works for us. We think, well, that little lie that I told, right? That goes in my sin bucket. Or maybe it's not a little lie. Maybe it's a really big lie. We say, well, okay, I've got more in my bucket here now. So my bad is outweighing my good. But then what tends to happen? Like that I was speeding the other day, right? But it was just a little traffic violation. What happens if you got behind the wheel while you're impaired and somebody paid the price? It's not so little anymore. Or you say, I just look at porn every once in a while. Or I cheated on my spouse. And before we know it, our bucket is full of sin, full of mistakes. And this thing weighs so much more than the good deeds that we might be able to put in our bucket. We say, I only cheated once. It only happened one time. It really doesn't matter, because our buckets are so full of mistakes, of wrong motives, of sin. We've all got these scales that are so out of whack. We've got a problem. And all of us, from the people on the video to every single one of us in this room, have the same problem with our bucket. It's full of some little things and some giant things. But it doesn't really matter, because the bucket is full. We all have a sin problem. And the Apostle Paul, he spends time in the first few chapters of Romans reminding us and helping us see, to make a case that we're all sinners. If you've got your Bible, open up to Romans chapter 3. Starting in verse 9, or in verse 10, he says, as is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are empty graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. In the way of peace, they do not know. Their buckets are getting fuller and fuller. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Are you guys feeling super encouraged? No one has got it together. All of our buckets are full. Whether this is your first time at church and your past week, oh man, your bucket is just overflowing. Or whether you're saying, you know what, I've been basically a good person, kind of like some of those people in the video. I come to church every week. Our buckets are full. We all have a sin problem. But it's okay, right? Because we know that God's going to do something about this. He's a loving God, so he's just going to overlook all this sin in my bucket. But see, God isn't turning a blind eye to the sins in our buckets. It's there. And on its own, it's going to stay there. Because we have a just God who couldn't just turn away from sin and pretend it didn't exist. His perfect nature won't allow for that. Because justice must be served. We talked a little about this last week. That justice must be served, that there must be an accountability, a reckoning for the bad things in our life. And we know this. We live our lives this way, right? I don't know about you, but I don't like it when people don't get justice, when justice isn't served. As human beings, we have this innate sense that wrong has to be punished, that sin has consequences. We need to see the guilty punished, not because we have some bloodlust for vengeance, but because of justice, because we know that there's all these wrongs in the world and they have to be made right. We love courtroom dramas, right? There's one going on right now that you can see on the news all the time, but let's talk about some fake ones, right? Every day you can turn on almost any television show and you see CSI fill in the blank, right? There's like 20 different versions of these, or Law and Order. Dun dun, that's right. I knew somebody was going to do that. Of course it was going to be less, right? We're fascinated with these courtroom dramas. We want to see people get justice served. And I'll tell you, I haven't watched a lot of Law and Order, but there are occasionally these episodes where the bad person gets off. And they end in the courtroom, and they end up being acquitted or something, and then it ends with less.
Dun-dun.
Yep. And it's just over, and you think, wait a minute, that can't be the end. There has to be something else. You can't just let the bad guy go. But unfortunately, that's sometimes the way it works. But we don't like that. I mean, think about it. If in these courtroom shows, these terrible people that have, their buckets are full with the mistakes that they've made, with the sins they've committed. And some of those on that show are horrendous. What if the judge was to say, I know that you're a child molester, but you only did it once. You only did this one time, so, okay, just don't do it again, right? No, we wouldn't be comfortable with that because there must be a price paid for sin. We understand justice. We want justice. We can't stand for people to get away without having to pay. But things look a little different when we're looking in our own buckets, don't they? When we stare down into the sins in our own buckets, all of a sudden justice says, well, I don't know if I want that. We say, but wait, and this is what some of these people on the video said, I'm not a bad guy. I'm basically a good person. Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever said that before? I'm basically a good person. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, but whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. See, none of us are ever going to be good, even if we feel like I'm basically a good person. And this is where a lot of us get stuck. We begin a cycle in our life. It looks kind of like this. I'm going to call it the justification cycle, right? We know that our sin bucket is full. We know that something's wrong, but we're basically a good person, so we're going to try to do something to balance these scales, right? But it won't get balanced. And that brings us to our buzzword for this morning. We've been talking about common Christian lingo that we use in church, and this morning's word is justification. Justification. When we use this word justification today, it often means to make an excuse for. To excuse something. I'm going to justify my actions. About 20 years ago, I think I've told you guys this story before, I was pulled over for speeding. And I was on this little back road, and sometimes you get pulled over and you don't think you're speeding, or sometimes you're going like one over, and you I can't believe that I got pulled over. This wasn't one of those occasions, all right? I was going really fast. And the cop pulled me over, and he said, of course, the question they always ask you, where are you going in such a hurry? And my answer, I could not have asked for a better answer because it was the truth. I said, "Officer, you're probably not going to believe this, but I'm on my way to a middle school Bible study that I'm teaching, and I'm late. And all these parents are going to be there dropping their junior high students off, and so I'm sorry that I was speeding." And he looked at me, and he was like, "Really? I can't give you a ticket for that," you know. Made some joke about how he was going to get struck by lightning or something. And he just said, "Please slow down." I said, "I will, thank you. I'm sorry." And he let me go. He showed me grace, which is another buzzword that we'll talk about some other time. But when we use the word justification today, it often means to make an excuse for. And I was trying to justify why I had sinned, why I had broken the law. I had an excuse. I had an excuse. I was trying to justify my actions, to make an excuse for, to give a suitable reason for why there was something that just got deposited in my bucket. Why there was a suitable reason, an explanation, an excuse for my mistake or for my sin. An excuse for the wrong in my life. But when the Bible talks about the word justification, it's not talking about making excuses. When the Bible talks about justification, it's not even something that I can do. It has nothing to do with me. Paul uses the word dikaio, and it means to deem right. That's what justification in the Bible means. Not to make an excuse for or to excuse, but to deem, to declare right. It's not an excuse. It's a declaration. Do you see the difference? It's not an excuse for your behavior. It's something that's declared over you. It's a legal term, like in those courtrooms on Law and Order. See, the judge in every courtroom pronounces a verdict, either guilty or innocent. And that declaration, it stands. What the judge says stands. And you walk out of court either in handcuffs or free. And here's what happens when you're justified, when you're deemed right. You still might be guilty. It happens sometimes, doesn't it? A guilty person is deemed justified. Just because you're deemed justified doesn't mean that there's nothing that you've done wrong. Because it's not an excuse. It doesn't excuse your behavior. It's a declaration over you. See, for many of us, this is what we do because of this. We've heard, like those people in the video, that we need to try to balance our scales. So we're going to try to tip the scales. We say, I've been justified, whatever that means, but my bucket's full, so I've got to try to do some good deeds. I've got here Mr. Goodbar, all right? So we say, I'll stop swearing. We say, I'll stop swearing all the time. Or I'll choose different words. I'll start speaking words of encouragement to people. So I got a couple good deeds there, right? Or I'll stop drinking. Or I'll stop drinking on the weekends, right? So I'm Or I donate to charity. I know that I need to balance these buckets, so I'm going to donate to charity. Or you know, I'm going to really go out. This guy at church has been saying that we should give back to God. We should tithe. So I'm going to tithe. You have 10% there. I thought it was close to 10. Yeah, okay. So I've got to be doing all right still, right? Wait. No, that's still not enough. I'm going to read my Bible more than once a day. Actually, I'm going to read it like hours a day because it's still things aren't going well. And we just keep trying to put good deeds in our bucket, but it doesn't seem to make a difference. I mean, the weight of our sin weighs so much more than any good deeds, no matter how many we put in there, that we could do. We try to balance the scales, but it's never going to even out. Or here's what's happening more and more today, I think. We use the word justification as a way to deal with our distorted self-image. So we're not trying to justify our actions anymore, to make excuses, but we use the phrase that I'm going to justify my existence. Right? So many of us feel like we're not worthy, that our life is not valuable. So I'm going to try to do some good things to at least make my life count for something. So you say, well, I know I'm not loving my children well, but I'm going to give them whatever they want because I at least want to make something good out of my kids. Or we say, I know that I'm not caring for my spouse the way I should, but I provide for her. I give her a roof over her head. Would she stop complaining? I know I don't care for her the way that I should, but I'm going to at least justify my existence, right? Because we feel worthless. We feel like our life isn't valuable on its own, so we're going to do some good things to try to tip these scales. But no matter what happens, our sin always weighs more. We can't do enough good things to be good. So what are we going to do? If we know that God is just, and he can't have anything to do with what's in this bucket, no matter what's in it, we're in trouble. So we try to make excuses for our sins or validate our existence. We're self-justifying. We're trying to justify ourselves. We're trying to balance our own scales, but it won't work. So what can be done? Let's look at verse 21, Romans chapter 3. Paul continues. He's just talked about how bad we are, right? How all of us have buckets full of sin. But he says this, starting in verse 21, But now, apart from the law of righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that, right? Here's the second part, though. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. That's our word from last week. Through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Paul goes on in Galatians. He says, we who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, by filling their buckets, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. We are justified, he said. And here's what he says this means. He says it means you're declared righteous. Now, you might not be righteous. Matter of fact, none of us are. But we are deemed righteous. See, sin requires a penalty. Someone has to pay. God can't just ignore all the sin in our bucket. We talked about that last week with the word atonement. So he sent Jesus who paid the price for our sins. And that means we've been forgiven, right? So awesome. We have no more sin. We can just take it out of our buckets. But we know that we still have sin. I sin all the time. And so do you. We've been forgiven, but we still sin. God has declared you justified. He's declared you not guilty. He's declared you righteous. But listen, justification doesn't mean that God made you righteous because you're not. You're always sinning. You're always making mistakes. But he gives you his righteousness. See, it isn't something that we can do. We can't balance our scales. We can't remove the sin from our life. We can't be righteous, but he gives us his righteousness. He sent his son to be covering for us. He declared us righteous through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Our sins were atoned for. We've been given a clean slate. That's how God is a just judge. And that's wonderful news. But there's more. We are not declared, we're declared not guilty, but we know that we're still not good. See, some of us get tripped up here in our understanding of salvation. We get that God is a just judge and that sin has to be dealt with. And we get that Jesus died on the cross, taking away our sins, all the junk in our buckets. He's covered with his blood, washed away our sins. We've been given a clean slate. So thank God for giving us a clean slate, right? A second chance. But then we think, okay, I've been given a clean slate. Now it's my job to put more good things in this bucket. To try to keep the scales tipped in my favor. But that's not what justification is. See, that's managing our buckets. Trying to take care of things ourselves. The judge didn't declare you righteous and now challenge you to go live up to it. God's not saying, you know what, you're guilty, but I pronounce you not guilty, so please go prove it to me. But that's where many of us are. We think that if we live the right kind of life and do the right things, we can keep our justification. So we're either living in fear that we're not doing enough, which is where many of us are every day. God, am I doing enough? Am I filling my bucket enough? Am I doing enough good things to be justified? That's one way we do it. Or we're really proud of ourselves because our buckets are full of good things. We become hypocrites, thinking we're better than everyone else, looking down on those who have sin in their buckets, or maybe really just different sins in their buckets. I love the way Tim Keller says it. He says, if you think your good deeds are good, they're no good. No, when we're justified, when you're declared not guilty, God gives you so much more than just a clean slate. Just as your sins are atoned for by Jesus on the cross, his righteousness is then given to you. He doesn't just take away your sins. As amazing as that is, he gives you his righteousness. You have put on Christ. His righteousness has been given to you. And it isn't anything that you've done. It's actually a work that God has done for you. Jesus takes away your sin and gives you his righteousness. You've been forgiven, but that's not the end of the story. That would just make things even, right? Your good outweighing your bad. But you and I have been given so much more than just forgiveness. See, forgiveness is a release from punishment. But when you're justified, you're given Christ's righteousness. Tim Keller also uses this illustration. He says, this isn't just a get-out-of-jail-free card, right? That's how many of us view a relationship with God, being saved. I just don't have to go to hell now. Partially true, right? Forgiveness is a release from the punishment, but God is giving you so much more than just forgiveness. It's not like just getting a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's instead getting the Medal of Honor that you didn't deserve, that you did nothing for. All you did was fill your sin bucket. But he doesn't just say, okay, I'm going to take these away. You get out of jail free now. You get to bypass hell. He says, no, I give you the Medal of Honor. Someone once said this. They said, forgiveness is saying, okay, you may go. But justification is saying, you may come. Please come. We're not just even anymore. Come, I welcome you. See, you can't balance your scales so you were forgiven. But even if you could, you still wouldn't be righteous. So God said, you may come. You're invited off the street with your dirty clothes. I'm instead giving you a fancy, clean robe. I'm going to give you the Medal of Honor, things that you didn't deserve. You're invited to come and spend time with him for eternity in his presence. See, God is perfectly just and perfectly holy. So the just judge made a permanent way for your sins to be taken care of and for righteousness that you couldn't earn to be given to you. Jesus took on your sins because you couldn't balance your scales. But there's so much more to being justified than just being forgiven. Because a holy, just God can only have with him perfect righteousness. And you can't do that. But God wants you. He longs for you. He says, come. You may come. To be fully in his presence, just as Jesus is. But in order for you to do that, you need more than just a clean slate. I need more than just my sins taken away. I need righteousness. So Christ gave me his. Romans 5:8. Says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? How much more do we have than just our sins being forgiven? We have his righteousness. We've been forgiven and we've been justified. We've been given Jesus' righteousness. I don't want to oversimplify this, but God has no problem multitasking, right? Of taking away our sins and giving us his righteousness. Because when God looks at us, he doesn't see this, our scales tip like this. And he, you know what? He also doesn't see this, our good deeds outweighing our bad. When God looks at us, he just sees Jesus. That's all he sees when he looks at us. Not our good deeds or our bad deeds. He just sees the cross that made a way for us to have this righteousness that was given to us. On the cross, Jesus fully met the demands of God's law and fully expressed the love of God the Father. He did both. And that's what it means to be justified. Titus 3, verse 3 through 7 says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved to all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But then the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, appeared. He saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, not because of what we had put in our buckets, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out to us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Paul goes on to Romans and he says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. No more worrying about what our scales look like. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. We've been judged, and the pronouncement was not guilty. But not only that, we've been adopted. Not just you may go, but you may come. When Jesus looks at us, when God sees us, he sees the cross and he says, come to be my children. Not just people who have been forgiven so you can just go on your way now, but come into my family. Fully embraced as God's children. And there isn't anything we can do. We can't put more good deeds in here. We can't take more things out of here. We can't try to manage our buckets. The reality is, when we're adopted as God's children, there are no more buckets. We no longer have to try to balance our own scales. The cross has made us justified. There's no more buckets. So we don't have to live in fear anymore. Fear that we're not good enough. Fear that we haven't done the right things. Because through the cross of Jesus Christ, we have been justified. We have been forgiven, but we've been given his righteousness. Amen? You say, but wait. I mean, I still sin. See, remember, this is a declaration by a just and holy God. So yes, you're still going to sin. But when God looks at us anymore, he's declared us righteous. We're not doing anything in this process. It's God's work for us. And it's recognizing that alone, we can try as hard as we want to try to balance these scales, but it's never going to work. But when we're justified, when we're made right before God, we come face to face with a just judge and a loving Father. And that act of God births something in us. It's a desire to follow our just judge and our loving Father. That's what the buzzword we're going to look at next week, sanctification. It's the process of God making us to be more like Jesus. But I know the question that those people really were asking on that video and the question you might have today is, well, how do I get justified? How do I get rid of these buckets? Romans 3:22 says this, "This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who do the right thing." No, that's not what it says. What does that say? To all who believe. Not to those who manage their buckets. Righteousness, justification comes through belief. Faith. Not a faith like, well, I hope so. That's where so many of us have landed, right? I hope I'm doing enough. I hope that God looks at me in the right way. No. Faith, believing. Believing God to the extent that we behave in our life like we actually believe that we are declared justified, that we are deemed righteous. Paul goes on in Romans chapter 4 and gives us a great example of this in a character from the Old Testament. We don't have time to go through this morning, but I encourage you this week, look at Romans chapter 3 and 4 and read about what Abraham did. Abraham, this patriarch from the Old Testament, he's called the father of our faith. And the reason he's the father of our faith, we read in verse 3, it says, he believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was justified because he believed. You can read the story about what he believed long before it ever happened. He was justified. But you know what's so amazing about this? He was justified hundreds of years before there ever was the law that we talked about last week. Before Abraham ever did anything that he could have tried to balance his scales on his own, God told him, you are deemed righteous. So he wants us to stop trying to balance the scales because we can't do it. He saved us from the penalty once and for all, perfectly, in a way that our trying never could. He's a just judge, but he's also a loving father. He doesn't just say, you may go. He says, come. You may come. He invites you as his child to come. He wants you close. And so he says, believe in my promises. Believe and have faith in me, and I won't just wash away your sins. I won't just balance your scales. I'll give you my righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When we acknowledge that God is good and we are not, when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, when you believe in faith that only the blood of Jesus can save you, your sins are forgiven. But your scales aren't just balanced, you're justified. You're given his righteousness. We're going to end our time together here sharing in communion. If you've got your elements, if you take them out. And we celebrate the righteousness that we've been given every week. because of Christ's life, his death, and his resurrection. Because we don't live with scales to balance anymore, with buckets to manage. We don't live with scales or buckets, but a cross to remember. To remember that the price has been paid for us, that we have been declared righteous because of Jesus. So we take this bread and this juice every week to remind us of his sacrifice that was given for us on the cross. We're going to sing a song, and I'm going to encourage you during that song to take communion on your own this morning. And maybe you just need to look at this cross for a minute before you take it. And ask yourself, am I trying to balance my scales myself? Am I trying to manage my own buckets? Because we don't see buckets anymore, and we don't see scales. We only remember the cross. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you have been, that you justified us, that you made us right, that you deemed us, Lord, to be right, to be righteous. God, forgive us for the times that we try to manage our own sin buckets, that we try to manage our own good deeds, that we try to earn something from you that you have given to us freely. And God, thank you that you haven't just given us a get out of jail free card, but that you've given us your righteousness, that you've clothed us in your righteousness. You've given us so much more than we deserve. Nothing that we deserve, Lord, because you've given us a gift based on who you are, not based on who we are. So Lord, we thank you for the cross. We remember that this morning, that the scales are broken, that the cross remains. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to enter your throne room, the great high priest, to come before you not as broken sinners whose scales are out of whack, but as justified believers in Jesus Christ who are firm in the knowledge that we are with you because you have invited us into your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I encourage you to take communion while we sing this song.